This month we've been concentrating on sharpening the skill of sharing your faith. In the first week we established the fact that we are all called to be witnesses. We identified each of our mission field. That's people that you already know that don't know the Lord, don't go to church, to your knowledge, have no belief or knowledge of God. Last week, we considered some principles in sharing our faith, like being prepared in advance. Anticipate the questions they might have. What are your answers going to be? Being personal. Not just in theory, but bring it down to earth. How important it is to listen. What's on their mind? What are the questions they're asking right now? And what does the Bible have to say about them? And then to be positive, to bring a positive approach so that the gospel is shared in a good light. This week, I want to move on to telling your story with regard to your own faith journey. And it's at this point where we actually have to speak words that many Christians are known to panic. If you think about it, we know the world's greatest, most important, most life-changing secret. And when it's time to tell, a lot of us choke. As ambassadors for Christ, we have the privilege of delivering the best news any individual could possibly receive. You would think this would be one of the most fulfilling and sought-after experiences to share good news with someone that needs it. But in reality, it's one thing that most of us avoid at all costs, isn't it? It's something that's very scary, something that's very intimidating to many. But I want to tell you this morning, there is nothing more effective in bringing somebody to faith in Jesus Christ than them hearing your story. Your personal testimony is much more powerful than any book they're going to read, any sermon they're going to hear, because they know you. And for most of you, you're not paid to do it, right? Yeah, they can't discern any ulterior motives. You're just a regular person, and you have something to say. Not only that, people are interested in other people's stories. It catches their interest. It holds their attention. And it's something very difficult, if not impossible, to refute. See, a skeptic can deny your doctrine. They can attack your church. They can bring up past events in church history where Christians were certainly not glorifying Christ. But when you tell your story, when they can see a change that's been made in your life, what are they going to say?
No, that didn't happen. I don't believe it.
Most people don't do that. So it is very effective. Think about the Apostle Paul. This guy was probably one of the most brilliant theologians the church has ever known. If he were around today, he'd probably have multiple doctorates in Bible and theology and related fields. This guy was brilliant. But when he was put on the spot and had to give a defense there in Acts chapter 22, he says, "Listen to my defense," and he told his story. He shared his personal testimony, what Jesus had done with his life. In fact, if you look from the third missionary journey all the way to the end of the book of Acts, as he goes to Rome, Paul shares his personal testimony no less than 6 times. He's not preaching sermons out of the Hebrew Scriptures. He's not even telling directly about what Jesus taught. He's saying, this is what happened to me. And it gives us an example to follow. We need to be telling our story of what Christ has done in our lives. So let's take a look at what does it take to put together our story, our personal testimony. And I want to begin with composing your story. By its very nature, your personal testimony is going to be unique. It's your story. And while people may experience similar situations, no one has lived your life. So sharing your story is something that's going to be unique. And a personal testimony should have 3 elements. And if you think about Paul's testimony in Acts 22 that was read earlier, you'll hear all 3 of these. First, what was your life like before coming to Christ? Second, how did you come to Christ? Third, what's your life like now? This is something that you see in advertising a lot, the before and the after, right? You know, it might be a person or it might be a house, it might be a room. Here's what it looked like before. Here's the transformation. Now here's what it looks like now. That's really what our personal testimony is. It's that simple. Before Christ, I came to Christ. Now that I follow Christ. Very, very simple. But it's also very, very persuasive. More people come to Christ hearing a testimony than hearing a sermon or reading a book. Now I know some of you are thinking, I think that's above my pay grade. I don't think I'm prepared to do that. I want to go back to some example I've used before, and that's the idea of a courtroom. Remember what we're all called to be? We're not all called to be preachers. We're not all called to be missionaries. We are all called to be witnesses. And think about a witness in a courtroom. They're not expected to argue the case. They're not expected to prove the truth. They're not expected to press for a verdict. That's the job of the attorneys. The witness is there to tell what happened to them. What did I experience? What did I see? What did I hear? That's their job. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to share your story, but you are the authority of your life. You know your experience better than anybody else. And that is a powerful opportunity to share your faith, is to tell your story. Most unbelievers are going to quickly lose interest if you start quoting theologians, right? Even if you start quoting the Bible right away, they're going to turn you off. But if you can relate to them your own real life story, that's going to hook their interest. Shared stories build a relational bridge that we can bring somebody to Jesus. Well, I want to go back and talk a little bit about those 3 elements in composing your story. First, tell what life was like before you met Jesus. Not just the things that happened, although those are important, but how did you feel before you came to Christ? Maybe you've sensed hopelessness. Maybe your life was empty. Maybe you didn't sense a purpose in your life. Now, some people's story show how their life without Jesus was a big failure. But you know, there are other people whose testimony is, I achieved everything I thought I wanted. I had all these goals set in my life, and I accomplished them. And when I got to the top, it was empty. I thought this would fulfill my life, and it didn't. So talk about how you felt. What was happening in your life before you come to Jesus? Now, you don't have to get into the gory details, okay? You know, you don't have to pull out your rap sheet and, you know, go into graphic detail about your sinful life. Avoid the old, before Christ I was a revolting rat and now I'm a super saint. At best, only half of that is true. But you don't have to get into, you know, great details, all right? You can tell them how you struggled with sin prior to knowing Jesus and salvation. But you don't have to dig into the dirt. You can speak in general terms. You know, before I met Jesus, I was involved in things that were wrong. You know, you might even avoid the word sin because people outside the church don't use that word anymore. They might not even know what you mean. But if you say, I was involved in things I knew that were wrong, they can relate to that. You might say, if my parents had known what I was doing, I would have broken their hearts. In my case, they would have broken something else, but we won't get into that. But keep it general, all right? You don't have to go into graphic details unless, here's the one exception, if they've shared with you something about their life that you can honestly say, yeah, I understand because I was there, then you can get detailed. But it's because it relates to them, not because it's about you. Secondly, tell how you were converted to Christ. And here you want to be specific. Don't just say, well, I believe in God, now things have changed. According to polls, you know, 90% of people think they believe in God. And I'm pretty sure not all of them are saved. Be specific. I decided to follow Jesus here. Here are the circumstances, or here's who led me to Christ. This is what prompted me. Whatever it might be specific. And then tell what your life is like now that you're saved. You know, you might say, before Christ, I was worried about everything. I just lived in constant anxiety. Now that I know Christ, I experience peace even in those tough times. Tell them the difference that Christ has made in your life. Now, some of you might think, I really don't have much of a testimony. Maybe, like me, you came to Christ at a very early age, and you don't have that before to talk about, right? You know, you were brought up in church. I was very privileged to grow up in a family where my parents knew Christ and we were involved in a very good church. At a very young age, I was exposed to the gospel. I came to Christ at the age of 4. You may not believe a 4-year-old can understand. And I'm sure I didn't understand it all, but I knew enough, and I still remember the day. I know what I was doing. But boy, that kind of puts a crimp in your personal testimony, you know? Before Christ, I was a terrible 2. Right? You know, how many horrible things can I share of my life before I was 4? I remember in Bible college, I had a class on personal evangelism. One of our first assignments was write your personal testimony, which I did. And I got a grade of B-. And I remember my brother Bob was there. He had just graduated the same school the year before. He was working on campus. And I went to him. I showed him that paper. And he said, B-? What's wrong? Weren't you lost enough? Maybe. But even if that's your story, you can still share life lessons, even that we've learned since we've come to Christ. Maybe we don't have a detailed before picture, but the after picture isn't flawless, right? I mean, even the Christian life is challenging. And we still learn a lot of lessons. And there's things that happen that we can share. Here's a few questions that might jog your memory and get you started. What has God taught me through failure? What has God taught me through a lack of money? What has God taught me from pain or sorrow or disappointment? What has God taught me through waiting? We all have a wait problem, don't we? W-A-I-T. What has God taught me in those times I've had to wait? What has God taught me through illness? What has God taught me through disappointment? Now you might say, wait a minute, those are all negative experiences. They don't want to hear about that. They want to hear about the good stuff. They want to hear about how, you know, Jesus takes all my problems away. No, they don't, because that's not real. That's not realistic even for the Christian. All our problems don't magically go away. We need to be honest. The reason why we share these things is because this is what they can relate to. And let's face it, people want to hear bad news more than they want good. Why do you think the newspapers and television news is 95% bad? Yeah, it's because a lot of bad things are happening, but they just focus on it because people want to hear it. Part of our twisted sin nature. We like to hear it. And people aren't nearly as interested in your success stories as they are your failures and what you've learned from them. There's a passage that I think is very appropriate here and something that we don't emphasize enough. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Now catch this. "Who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Those times when you go through difficulties, you're like, "God, why am I going through this? Why are you putting me through this?" This might be the answer. He may be preparing you now for somebody down the road who's going through the same thing, and you can share with them the comfort you've received from God. And especially if that's somebody that doesn't know the Lord, that can be a tremendous testimony. You've been there, you've been through it, you've experienced it, and you're on the other side. You can show that there's hope. You can get through this because I have. Sharing the comfort we have received from God can be powerful in reaching the lost. Think of planting those seeds and watering them with your own tears, right? Now, be honest and be real, all right? People can see through a fake testimony really quick. Don't make up a testimony if you don't think yours is strong enough. Tell the truth. And don't be afraid to admit where you've failed or you've gone through difficult times. Now, once you've prepared your testimony, think through the wording. I would strongly suggest writing it down. And if you're writing it out by hand or typing it out on a computer, try to keep it to 2 pages or less. You don't need a really long sermon. And when you're done with that, find a Christian that you trust. Have them take a look at it. Is this clear? Is somebody who doesn't go to church going to understand it? Because the longer we're in church, the more fluent we get in a new language. It's called Christianese. And we use words and phrases that people out in the world don't have a clue what we're talking about. We got to be careful not to use those in our personal testimony because we're trying to reach somebody that's not in the church. And I would also recommend practicing it. Maybe have that friend and practice sharing your story with them. They might even bring up some questions and play the devil's advocate a little bit. That's good, because that gives you an opportunity to think through these things before you have to do it. The next step is communicating your story. Again, practice is very helpful at this point. Maybe you can share your testimony in a small group. Maybe you can share your testimony in church. It's a lot easier to do it in a friendly audience than in a hostile one. So maybe you can start there. Now, this might sound strange, but the first phase in communicating your story has more to do with your ears than your mouth. We need to listen. We need to listen to where they're at. We need to find out where they are in their life. What are the things they're going through? What are they struggling with? What are they dealing with? And those parts of our story that can relate to that, we can emphasize. I think sometimes we're guilty of giving people the answer before we've heard their questions. Now, the answer may still be the same, but just hearing them out shows that we care, that we respect them. Find out where they are and then go to that place. So when you do have that opportunity, here's a few tips in communicating your story. One, you want to be listened to, so be interesting. I think it is an absolute crime to be boring about Jesus. Be interesting. You don't have to be theatrical, but be interesting. You want to be understood, so be logical. Again, use those three phases: before I came to Christ, how I came to Christ, now that I came to Christ. There's a flow that naturally goes, and you don't get lost going here, there, and everywhere. Third, you want the moment of your new birth to be clear, so be specific. Again, don't just say in general, I started going to church or I believed in God. We're talking about following Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. There are a lot of people out there that say, oh, I believe in God, but they have no clue about Jesus. So we've got to be very specific about that point of our story. You want your testimony to be used, so be practical. Be honest. Don't give false promises. Don't tell them that you come to Christ and all your problems go away, because they don't. Be real. Be practical. And then finally, you want your testimony to produce results, so be warm and genuine. You know, a smile breaks down a lot more barriers than hammer blows of cold, hard facts. And you may have everything correct, but if it's not presented in a warm, genuine, positive way, our testimony may not reach them. So what do you do when you're finished? Well, part of that depends on how they react. The other person may seem interested and they may want to know more, and you can follow up with that. Or they might not seem interested at all. Don't just shut them down. Say, you know, maybe we can come back and talk about this another time. Ask them if they've got a question about something that you talked about. But invite their feedback. And don't worry if they don't respond the way you wanted to the first time. It's very rare somebody comes to Christ the first time they hear about him. Some do, many don't. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. You may be planting the seed, telling someone for the first time. You may be watering the seed somebody else planted. And there may be a whole lot more people watering the seed before it blooms. So allow God to be at work. Remember, Jesus saves, we don't. So leave that to him. We're just telling our story. And then finally, and I think this is important, I want to include by emphasizing that in telling our story, we're confirming God's glory. The personal testimony is a powerful means of grace, but it's not without its abuses. Testimonies can become self-absorbed, all about me talks, rather than bringing glory to God. I like the way Chuck Swindoll put it. Don't let your testimony become a bragamony. Right? Don't try to impress them with what a horrible person you were before Christ. And this has happened even in churches where they have testimony time and one person stands up and says, well, before I came to Christ, blah, blah, blah. And the next person says, well, that's nothing, but when I came to Christ, And it all becomes about them. They're trying to one-up the guy before. That's not the idea here. We're not trying to show how horrible we are, because ultimately that it's exalting me. Or it could even be exalting sin. We don't want to do that. You know, we don't want to tell our past story in such a way that people are like, well, why did you give that up? That's not the point. It's all about God. Whenever Paul shared his testimony, he was exhibit A to prove the gospel of the grace of God really works. Sure, he's talking about himself, but the glory goes to God. You see that time and time again as he tells his story. Remember this, an honest testimony is our responsibility, but a positive response is not. We can say everything right, and they still look at us like, nah, I don't think so. Ultimately, they have to make a choice. We can't force it, and we're not responsible for their choice. So as I've said so many times in so many places, don't judge your success by the results. This is not a batting average. I've witnessed so many times and I've had so many successes, and what's the percentage? That's not what it's about. Remember, we may only plant the seed. We may only water the seed. It's God that makes it grow. So in the end, he's the one that gets the success, not us. And it's all about his glory. Now, there's nothing wrong with composing our story and learning how to communicate our story. Just remember, God gets the glory. And all we can do is be faithful. God called us to be faithful, not successful. Let the Holy Spirit do his work in their heart. But as we get more comfortable in telling our story, as we're able to share with others, you're going to find that it gets easier the more you do it. And when you do have that experience of somebody coming to Christ through your story, I will tell you by my experience, there is nothing like it. It is one of the most amazing experiences you'll ever have. To know that God used you to bring someone to faith in Christ, that is just an amazing feeling. And once you've experienced it, you're going to want to do it again. So the next time in church we sing, I love to tell the story, we can actually mean it. Right?